CBSI in the world, I'm John Batchelor. Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power plant in Europe, has been at the center of a mystery for weeks and months. That is, who is controlling, who is responsible, what is to be done about the frequent reports of shelling, missile firing, disasters in the area. I welcome Henry Sokolsky, Executive Director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, to help me sort out articles that we've had from distinguished publications, The Wall Street Journal and Reuters, in these last hours. What is different here? What is new here? Is the alarm being raised freshly? Henry, a very good day to you. I read first from The Wall Street Journal within the last 24 hours. Ukraine said its Zaporizhia nuclear power plant has been disconnected from the power grid after Russian shelling damaged transmission lines and left the facility reliant on diesel generators, while Russian officials renewed their calls for civilians to evacuate the southern city of Kherson. Two remaining high-voltage transmission lines linking the power plant to the Ukrainian power system were damaged following fresh Russian attacks, this according to Kyiv Energoatom, the nuclear energy company of Ukraine. In addition, the facility, the journal says, had 15 days' worth of fuel to run the 20 diesel generators that had been activated, and two of its units were being switched to cold shutdown mode. I move from there to what you'd have to say are competing headlines from Reuters within the last 24 hours. London. A senior Russian official said that Russia had prevented a Ukrainian attack on the Russian-controlled Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. Repeated shelling of the plant has raised the possibility of a grave accident just 500 kilometers from the site of the world's worst nuclear accident. The IAEA, which has repeatedly expressed concern, proposes the establishment of a nuclear safety and security protection zone. I'll stop there, Henry, because we've covered this exhaustively over these last months, but now we have fresh statements of the concerns that you have evidenced. What do you see that's new here? Why now? And please explain why the power lines are important for a nuclear power plant. Good evening to you.
Good evening. The power lines are important because you need electricity external to what the plant itself is producing to run coolant pumps to keep the fuel from heating up and melting down and producing a radiological event that could harm people outside of the plant. Now, what hasn't been reported widely enough is that the massive attacks that Putin is waging, or mounting, I should say, against electrical systems throughout all of Ukraine is starting to have an effect not only on Zaporizhia, where the lines they used to have four have all been cut off. And now they're operating on basically big truck engines to generate electricity, but also at their southern plant, a big nuclear plant, there are difficulties there as well. So it's getting rather grim. As for the competing accounts, I don't know why we haven't insisted on putting observers who can at least and sensing systems at this plant to determine from which direction these so-called attacks are coming from and get some evidence of the missiles themselves. What are they? I think it hasn't even been proposed. I would assume if you weren't doing the attack, you would agree to it right away. We haven't even done that. So there's a kind of a inattention while the temperature is increasing, if you will, at these facilities. And I don't know. I guess we've just burned out, so to speak, dealing with this problem set.
Now, Henry, you're well informed of Washington's concerns, and Washington has a way of anticipating trouble in Ukraine. We've seen that since the beginning of the war. The State Department or some apparatus knows beforehand things are going wobbly. Has there been any attention to Zaporizhia, especially since the shelling and the bombarding of the neighborhood has increased? And now we're told specifically that the plant, the power lines are being hurt. Do you see harmed in some way, threatened with a limited supply of fuel to keep the powers going? Do you see attention from the National Security Council, the State Department, the DOD?
You know, I don't doubt that there must be paying closer attention to this. What I know, however, is that publicly, not a whisper. And perhaps as odd as that is odder still, no interest on the Hill in raising anything about this publicly. So I got to believe they're doing something privately. But publicly, I know they're not doing a darn thing.
What we hear from Kyiv, from the government, is they're concerned about power blackouts. I understand that. It's a threat to their population. And the Russian forces have been bombarding the infrastructure these last days. It's a siege tactics. But it strikes me that what I've learned from you is that the Zaporizhia plant is not the same old infrastructure. This is something that can easily turn into a catastrophe for the whole Black Sea Basin. So, again, let us review those power lines. If those power lines are cut, they go to alternatives. They go to the generators. But the generators have limited fuel, and the generators are also vulnerable to being shelled. So we're talking about something that's extremely brittle. Have I exaggerated?
I don't think so. I mean, if this was occurring any other place, you know, the United States or in Europe, when there wasn't a war going on, we would be jumping in and out of our tails.
What we learn from this, again, and we've touched upon this, but I'm frustrated to think that Reuters and Wall Street Journal now think that they're introducing it for the first time. What we've learned is that there are no protocols for a nuclear power plant lost in a combat zone, none whatsoever, not just for Russia or Ukraine, but for NATO and for other combatants. Is that accurate, Henry?
Well, it's a little inaccurate. There is a protocol that we have chosen not to ratify, and the Russians have actually withdrawn from just before the invasion, that strongly discourages any country from attacking electrical nuclear generating plants, and places a very strong burden on anyone that would claim that, oh, well, the plant was primarily being used to give significant support to the military. Every member of NATO and the Ukraine have ratified and signed that. So there is that. But after that, you haven't heard people interpreting it very much or drawing attention to the need to hold the Russians to that standard, particularly after the war. As you pointed out in a previous show, we are not putting maximum pressure on the commanders to behave by saying we expect them not to do certain things. And if they don't, they will be held accountable to the rules that we think matter, even if they've decided to pull out of them.
Your measure right now, why are we getting this information now, Henry? Within 24 hours, Reuters in London and the Wall Street Journal in New York and reporting out of Kyiv. Is there something new here, or they're giving us, they haven't advanced the story?
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, what's new is not only are all the lines down, which is, I think, only happened once or twice before going in, but because there is a general infrastructure war, a barbaric one that also violates the Geneva Convention, which the Russians actually have not pulled out of. I don't believe they may. I need to check that, but I believe they're still members of the Geneva Convention. Well, I have to check that. So whether they are or they're not, you're not supposed to attack civilian objects like electrical generating stations and water depots and things. That's what they're attacking. So I think the combo is new.
Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. Again, Zaporizhzhia, the largest nuclear power plant in all of Europe, is now either offline or in danger of being offline. Also, there is a limited amount of fuel for the generators that are keeping the containment vessel from going out of control. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.